Nick Kyprios here, and we need to talk New Energy. New Energy is a great-tasting, chewable tablet I carry everywhere. Whether I'm broadcasting a late-night doubleheader or going to an early morning pickup skate, New Energy is, hands down, my go-to to help promote alertness, wakefulness, and relieve fatigue with only ingredients I love. Look for the orange stick at a retailer near you or look for my webpage at getneuenergy.com/Kyprios. That's getneuenergy.com/Kyprios.
This product may not be right for you. Always read and follow the label.
Alrighty, World Hockey Report doing this one live. Got the kid in Fort Saskatchewan, Edmonton area, whatever you want to call it. Late night last night, whatever. Got to see Oil Kings game, watch the Oilers game. Lots to talk about, of course. But hey, it's a big day. We got Oilers Canes tonight. Probably a little bit more live action going on there. Adam's going to ask you all your NHL updates. Ehrman Trout, how's it going?
Not bad. It's good to be in the fort.
Oh, first time to hear that. Yeah, it's been a while. Long time coming. Good to get this one together. Get off the roads. Lots of NHL to talk about as we're watching Caps and Blackhawks right now. Boy, Blackhawks are kind of on a tear. I don't know what the hell the Caps are doing, but whatever. Battle of Alberta. We want to break that one down first, or what? What do we want to start with?
Yeah, we can do Battle of Alberta. I mean, there's that, the no World Cup this year, which I don't think anybody's too sad about. But yeah, Battle of Alberta. I mean, 0-0 after one, and then the Flames just got three quick ones there in the second. And I mean, at the end of the day, the better team won the game.
It was not the ref's fault. Let's clarify that first off. If you're going to try to blame the refs for that, you're an idiot. Like, both teams are like 1-for-6 on the power play, so there's no way you can even remotely think that had any outcome on the game. Rick was better than Koskinen. Better team definitely won. I mean, the Flames are a wagon. They're 7-0-1 their last 8. I don't know. I mean, the Oilers really didn't look like they had a chance. Hey, Lucic scored a goal. That's cool. Puljujarvi, probably their best forward. I don't know. I mean, what went wrong? Like, the Oilers' defense still isn't good enough. They've tried to. It's like every time we talk about the Battle of Alberta, it's like, oh, Oilers' defense isn't good enough. Then it's their forwards. That's just a team rundown.
Yeah, and there's so many things online where it's, oh, like, the refs weren't very good tonight. They didn't have enough experience to be calling this game. And then there's that clip of McDavid in the corner, but it was very selective because the Oilers guy who tweeted it out, he left out the 15 seconds before McDavid actually, like, well, McDavid hit him first, but that was left out and it just showed him basically getting mauled. But he ignited it, and yeah, as you said, every Oilers game, it's the same old song and dance, and they kind of fool you from time to time when, I mean, they'll put up a 5 or 6 spot just like any team would. And I mean, Colorado scored 7 the other day on LA, and they've been hot trash the last month. But yeah, I mean, same story for the Oilers. Defense is spotty, goaltending is questionable, and they have about 3 good forwards, so there you go.
Man, we talked about it too. It's like, okay, like, we can't blame the officials on this one, but yet again, like, neither team was good on the power play. How bad was Darnell Nurse up top? I mean, you don't want to rip on a guy, but holy, no desire to be on the power play. Like, I get it. Larson was a -4. You can't have him on the power play. Caleb Jones turns over that, was it 4th or 5th goal? They're struggling. I mean, I don't know. Even if Klefbom comes back, whatever, it's not going to save them. Didn't look like on their power play, at least.
No, and I mean, for how many years have they been looking for a power play quarterback? And even when they supposedly had one in Justin Schultz, they really didn't. It's kind of like you're putting lipstick on a pig at this point. You're trying to justify Darnell Nurse on the power play when he's not a power play guy. You're trying to justify Klefbom on the power play. But in a perfect world, those guys aren't, you know, first unit power play guys with the best player in the world. I mean, Klefbom back would obviously help just because you look at Vegas and how badly they started. Then they get Nate Schmidt back, who's a 25-minute-a-game D-man, and they really turned their season around. So, I mean, a good D-man helps, but I don't think that the power play is just going to go from 15 to 30% because of one guy.
Early in the game, though, that Hitchcock challenge, how bad was that? Was that one of the worst you've seen? Because, I mean, we saw that, like, you know, the very first thing we said is, why is he challenged? Like, it doesn't even look close, looks stupid. Instead of using a timeout, too, it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, and especially at that point in the game, Monahan drives the net, barely even touches Koskinen, who's basically stretched out to the hash marks because he's so big. And then, yeah, Hitchcock went to challenge. Maybe it's a momentum thing. You get lucky. You hope that the ref sees something that nobody else did, which usually isn't the case. Yeah, it's crazy, though, because after the game, he's like, yeah, I'd love to be here for a while. I grew up here. I'd love to be in Edmonton. So we'll see what happens with him moving forward.
We talked about that. Like, the after hours, I thought it was kind of subpar. It wasn't the best after hours.
That was an olden days one where it's Hitch talking about how he grew up in the rough and tumble town of Edmonton and all that. Like, it's better when you get a young guy on it who's just joking around and stuff. Like, Hitchcock's all serious, talking about the old boys he worked for and stuff. Like, I mean,
I thought United Cycles sponsored it by how many times they were talking about him sharpening skates there. And then they mentioned, like, he coached, like, midget trips or something in Sherwood Park. So a little bit of relevance to us. But all in all, it really wasn't that funny. Like, other than Ken Hitchcock looked like he was 5'2", round as ever. Like, yeah. Funny how small he looked, though.
Well, even speaking of round, I mean, we're watching the NBC broadcast of Hawks and Capitals right now, and Pierre McGuire looks like he's added about 30 pounds. He's filling out a suit nicely.
That's funny. It must be a little bit, like, I guess, like, standing between the benches, like, do you think their legs get tired? Like, I don't even know, is there a chair in there? Is there somewhere
you can, there's no room for a chair.
Yeah, that's funny.
So you got two guys in there.
And a cameraman. It did look like he put on some weight, though. Maybe Pierre's packing some.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Those Vegas broadcasts will get you.
Yeah, just the last thing on the Flames here. Like, they're super hot. I wrote the blog on their goaltending. It's still, like, you know, you go into games, and Riddick played really pretty well last night, I guess, or two nights ago when this drops. He's been spotty lately. I mean, I don't think he allowed 4 goals in a game until the end of November, and then after Christmas he's allowed it, I think, 3 or 4 times. So he's been spotty, and Mike Smith doesn't look great yet, but how awesome was that video of Riddick's brother meeting Harvey the Hound?
That was cool. I don't get it, though. Like, how long has he been with the Flames now? 2 years? Did he play in the American League, or no? He just came from maybe a little cup of coffee down there, but, like, it's kind of weird, like, how his brother, like, knows Harvey the Hound. Obviously, they're probably a little bit, like, well set off for Czech Republic. If you make more than, like, $1,000 a month, you're well set off there. But, yeah, like, watching it on the old box TVs, he's like, oh, there's Harvey the Hound, my favorite mascot. Or however you say that in Czech. But, yeah, it's a cool video. He had, like, autism or something.
Autism, yeah. And it was, like, they said it was, like, other stuff, too. So.
Okay. So, no, it's cool. I mean, it's awesome, the Flames, too. Like, eventually they flew him over or something, like, you know. Set him up. Yeah. Kind of. It's obviously pre-planned, right? For, like,
Harvey. Yeah, the video and that stuff.
Harvey to jump out there, scare him, give him a big hug. Pretty cool to see.
Yeah. Not so, getting off the NHL beat here. Well, kind of. The World Cup of Hockey 2020 will not be going on this year. And honestly, I don't think anybody's too sad about that.
Did anyone even remember it was going to be happening in 2020? When was the last one? Was it 2016?
2016, because Matthews was playing in it, like, right after he got drafted.
See, I get it. It was, like, a whole spectacle, but they had, like, a Team Europe, too, which is just, like, one of every country, essentially. It's, like, one player from everywhere.
Like, it was basically, oh, Kopitar's from Slovenia, so we need to include Slovenia on this.
That was kind of stupid. Wasn't it, like, a best-of-three final?
Yeah, it was a best-of-three final, and I think Canada beat Europe, and for one, they didn't even throw off their gloves or anything. Like, they basically, in that building, their Canada Center at the time, it seemed like they had as much excitement as, like, a Leafs, like, game 42 win at home. Like, just, oh, yeah, nice, we won, like.
But how can you be happy if you're like, oh, my goodness, I have to go to training camp after this? Yeah. You just burnt your legs for 2 weeks, like, trying to chase around that under-23 team all over the ice.
Yeah, well, that under-23 team, John Cooper said it the other week, that it's the best team he's ever coached, and maybe not at the time, but now you look at that team, like McDavid, Matthews, Goodrow, Scheifele, Hellebuck and Gibson and Net.
But do that in the All-Star game.
Yeah,
do that exactly. In the All-Star game. Like, make a fifth three-on-three team or whatever stupid idea you got now. But
well, yeah, Team North America, it's hard because, like, you're not playing for your country. Like, I don't really know what you're playing for. And, like, there's no Mexicans on the team, which was a bummer.
Shocker.
But, yeah, this is strange because I think the 1 year for the World Cup, there's a work stoppage right after or something like that. But maybe it's a good sign because the players aren't going to go there. They'd obviously rather go to the Olympics. But with the Olympics comes, who's paying for your flights there? If you pull a John Tavares and blow out your knee there, who's getting insured and who's reimbursing the Islanders for lost tickets? And you're also dealing with a corrupt company in the IOC. So there's a lot of factors to that. But, I mean, everybody wants them to go.
Shots fired at the IOC right there. Hopefully they're not listening to the pod. Could get whacked after this on the way to Rogers' place. I think it is a little bit corrupt. The World Cup, like, it used to be big. I remember at the old Warman Arena, funny enough, it was like 2004, Canada defeats Finland in the gold medal game. I mean, someone Google that. But I believe Kiprusoff was in net. Team Canada, it's like my first recollection of the World Cup. I think they had, like, an old trophy, too. It was a cooler trophy. Man, I'm trying to think back. I really do think they beat Finland, though, or something.
They beat Finland 3-2. You're correct.
There you go. Damn right. Of course I'm correct. Yeah, so they go and beat Finland. 2004. I'm pretty sure I was, man, it might have been novice or something, playing hockey. Maybe a little bit after. But we were, like, we're all watching it in the rink, right? Like, it was after one of our tournaments, so. Or during a tournament. I don't know. Whatever. That's, like, that's what I recollect from the World Cup is, like, back in the day, you got, like, Lemieux, you got Marty Brodeur, you got Kiprusoff, you got Solani. I mean, it was just, there was actually, they cared about it. So that's what made it different in a sense of, like, they had country pride. Whereas now it's, like, it's just a spectacle to make money. Doesn't have the weight of the Olympics, not even the World Championships, for that fact.
Yeah, honestly, like, if you ask somebody, oh, what would you rather, your country win a World Championship gold or a World Cup gold? And at this point, it's hard to even say because, I guess, for example, if they had a World Cup in 2020, Connor McDavid would still technically be eligible for the under-23 team. And it's like, where would he play? Like, if he's on Team North America, your best player for Canada is not even playing for his country, for Christ's sakes, but... Yeah, I mean, it's so tough because, as I said, there's so much insurance and things that are way past our knowledge to actually go to the World Cup, or sorry, to go to the Olympics, and it's a two-week stoppage in the middle of February, and I'm sure a lot of people would like the Olympic break even if they weren't going there because you get a two-week vacation, basically.
Yeah, that was I heard someone else talking about that. It's like, hey, let's not just think about the players who are actually there. Like, the guys who don't make it are sometimes just as happy. Like, yeah, sure, they got $1 million in the bank. They're going to be going wherever they want right before the season, too. Like, a getaway before you got to go to training camp.
Yeah, I guess we'll bounce back to the NHL here. We got the Oilers and Carolina Hurricanes game tonight. But we got to talk about the Islanders. I mean, we haven't talked about them lots this year or anything. And they're in first place in the Metropolitan Division. So props to anybody who had that predicted, but I don't think you would have. Sorry to fact check you, but yeah, the Islanders won 4 straight. They're 8-2 in their last 10. And I mean, if they lost a game, they could drop down to 4th in the Metro, but they're in first place right now and nobody saw that coming.
I saw them in Arizona earlier. They're a pretty good team. Like, offensively, they're just a little bit ahead. I mean, Barzal, Hosang, Eberle, they're moving the puck well. They played as a team. They really didn't have any flaws. And, I mean, you kind of saw that when they beat the Caps, too, is they play a clean game. They don't really make too many mistakes. They're not that fancy. They're just going to get shit done.
Yeah, and obviously the big offseason move for them was not getting John Tavares back, but at the same time, they made a couple big ones by making their organization more respectable and not just, they kind of turned off the machine on the coaching carousel and hired Barry Trotz. So they got the coach that won the cup last year. And then as much as we like to rip on the guy on the team on this podcast, Lou Lamoriello, I mean, if you hire that guy, I think you're going to get shit done in your organization. And there's going to be there's going to be some turnover and some uncomfortable people in the organization, just because I'm not going to say they've had it easy for so long, but they weren't working under Lou. And sure enough, they put the right people in place and they're in first place right now. And also good for Robin Lehner, right? Like, everybody read his story about, you know, how tough a time he had in Buffalo, more so off the ice. And look at him this year. He's arguably a Vezina candidate right now. Well, he's only played 25 games, but 928 save percentage is pretty good.
Yeah, they're impressive. One thing, though, Lou did not do a good job, or whoever signed Komarov to that deal, he's not he just isn't anything on the ice other than, like, a little bit of a pest. Maybe gets a couple of hits a game, generates a couple of chances here and there, but isn't he getting like $4 million or something?
Yeah, it was $4 million a year for 3 or 4.
That's insane. I don't know who'd give that to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, Leonard's been good. Leonard's also had like a big bounce back, in a sense of, it's hard to judge his numbers while he was in Buffalo. Like, obviously he was having those problems and stuff, but like, their defense was not NHL adequate. Like, they were just loading up heavily up front. They were in shootouts every other night. And now all of a sudden they get some decent defense and you get Carter Hutton back there. And everyone's like, oh, well, Leonard couldn't do this and Hutton's doing it. Let's pump the brakes here. Like, I mean, their defense is getting more experience. You got a guy like Deline back there, Ristolainen. They're getting better as a team, so can't fault Leonard for everything that happened there.
Yeah, and I mean, they got Matt Martin back from the Leafs. He obviously didn't have things go his way in Toronto. And they kind of reunited their identity line, the Clutterbuck, Martin, Cizikas line. And you look at that line, Cizikas 20 points plus 14, Martin 10 points plus 5, Clutterbuck 11 points, even rating. I mean, that's been a pretty good line for them and good for the Islanders. I kind of want to ask you about the parity in the league right now. Like, you look a couple years ago and it was basically LA and Chicago alternating for cups, and then Philly made that cup final, and now they're the bottom three teams in the league. Like, you look at the basement of the NHL right now, the Blackhawks 41, the Kings 42, the Devils, I guess, 43, and then Red Wings, Senators 43, and Flyers 44. I mean, just like Philly, Detroit, LA, Chicago, those were kind of the perennial teams that you just knew would be in the playoffs every year, and it's almost nice to see some turnover and see, like, the new age teams get in, like Winnipeg / Atlanta. Nashville was never great. Colorado was pretty average the last couple of years. And then, I mean, even Tampa Bay, too.
How about Jeff Skinner, Braden Point, both with 30 goals? I didn't know John Tavares had 29. Oh, my.
Yeah, there you go.
Dude, I've been ripping on him for a while now. I know he had 29 tucks. That's crazy. Ovi's on a tear, though. And he's getting into it with Kane. But back on the whole new age NHL team. I mean, yeah, it's cool. Like, that Central's kind of getting to the point of predictability where it's like, okay, Winnipeg's sick. Nashville's sick. The Pacific's still a toss-up. But, I mean, I like the Flames' chances. If they can get goaltending, they can beat anyone, including Winnipeg and Nashville. I guarantee you that. Like, they can score. Monahan's nasty. Gaudreau's nasty. They're getting a little bit of secondary scoring. Their defense is pretty good. I mean, like, who's their worst defender? Maybe Anderson? Who'd you say?
I'd say Shillington, but Valimaki's been out for a while, so.
Yeah, okay. Well, like Shillington, then, if that's your worst D-man. Dude, he was making some decent plays yesterday. Like, against the Oilers, he did not look out of place, and that's a pretty tough offense to stop. Like, you know, you got McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, Puljujärvi coming at you. I don't know. I think they're sitting pretty. I mean, the East, yeah, it's changed a little bit. boy, you know, it's tough to watch some of those teams just be so bad. Like, Ottawa can't catch a break to save their lives. That team's got to move. I mean, Kansas City, get your rink ready. Get a bid ready. I don't know.
They'll be ready for Arizona. Let's crunch some numbers right now. So, as we do this podcast, there are 1, 2, 3 players in the top 10 who are restricted free agents at the end of the year. Mikko Rantanen, 73 points, 48 games. Braden Point, 64 points, 49 games. Mitch Marner, 60 points in 47 games. Give me, what would you pay Mikko Rantanen?
Boy, he's a heck, like, he's a guy who can really control the pace, and that's what I like about him on, like, I mean, up front.
Like, is it a 9 or a 10? Like, it's so tough because he plays with MacKinnon, and the internal cap there is MacKinnon at, like, 6.5 or 3 or whatever it is.
I was going to say I'd feel comfortable at 8. I wouldn't feel comfortable at 9 or 10. I mean, especially if you're going to do the whole 8 years.
Yeah, the whole like, your best year comes in your contract year.
I know, like 8 for 10, that's $80 million you got locked up on the bank, so this guy's going to do the exact same. Oh, it's tough. I mean, yeah, I think 8's a pretty fair number. Maybe you go like 7 for 5 in the first, and then you go, okay, we'll talk again. Mm-hmm. But who knows if they're going to accept it. I mean, no reason to take hometown discounts, especially when you're in Colorado. You're in such a tough central division. Like what's the point of staying if someone else is going to give you more in a place where you can win?
Yeah, and that's kind of where offer sheets come into play. I mean, nobody has ever really done it ever since, I think, Brian Burke wanted to fight. Maybe it was Kevin Lowe or something for offer sheeting Dustin Penner, because that was such a big loss for the Ducks, apparently. Yeah, but I had the tweet this week about Braden Point, and, like, I mean, what a player he is. He had 66 points last year, 32 goals. Already at 64 this year, 30 goals in 49 games. And, like, it's crazy. He was a third-round pick, like 79th overall. So in Moose Jaw, after his draft year, 87 points in 60 games. Makes a World Junior team. Then the next year after that, 88 points in 48 games. And I heard his coach, Tim Hunter, say this. That Tim Hunter's reputation right now is probably a little shot after the World Juniors, but he said he was never going to play in the AHL, and sure enough, the next year, 40 points in 68 games, and now after being a third-round pick, he's in line to make $9 million.
Yeah, it's really, if you watch them, I get it, Kucherov's on another level when it comes to points this season again, but like, there's really not that big of a gap between point Kucherov, Stamkos. Like, Tampa Bay has all this scoring in the world, and they're going to run into cap trouble. It still blows my mind that they're even thinking about going after a guy like John Tavares, because it happened to Toronto, too. Like, look at Toronto. Man, I get it. He's got 29 tucks this year. I mean, I was just, puppy eyeing him, but yet again, that's a lot of cap space that you can save on some of those younger guys. And just think, the salary cap's just going to keep going up. Players are going to keep getting more. So if you can sign a 22, 23-year-old, 24-year-old right now to a long-term deal, you got to lock in.
Yeah, and I guess right now we'll drop the Paul Bissonnette state tax line, because it's a major advantage in Tampa. Just looking at their salary cap going forward, now Ryan Callahan's $6 million comes off the books in 2020, but you're gonna have to pay Anton Strahlman after this year. You're gonna have to pay I guess Girardi's off too. You're gonna have to pay Andre Vasilevsky, and what's his number start with? 9 or 10? Like, yeah. You're gonna have to pay him, Braden Point. That's $18 million extra on the books. And then at some point, I mean, Anthony Cirelli's going to want to raise, Matthew Joseph, just a couple guys there. So that's, what, $18 million, then let's say 5 for Strahlman. That's $23 million when you're losing 6. and probably 5.5 for Johnson. So, I mean, Tampa's in tight right now.
It'll be interesting to see what they can come up with. I mean, definitely finding some efficient D-men on the back end for cheap is going to be clutch. Like, if they can find a couple of guys to put in serious work around 2-3 mil, that's going to come through big. And I don't know what their prospects look like for defense and that, so I can't get too much into it. But
they draft really well. We'll say that about Tampa. Like, they just seem to find guys up their ass and get them on good entry-level deals for a while, so
it's crazy. As you said, but it's still weird, like, to think about, like, Braden Point being a third-round pick. Like, how many times... I guarantee you, every NHL team had a scout watch Braden Point. I mean, how many times in a season do you think they saw Braden Point, like, as a scouting group in total? Like, probably, like, almost every game.
Yeah, well, they're just from my experience, I'd say there's usually about 10 teams at every game.
Yeah. Okay, so let's say they didn't see every game. They at least saw him 50 times that season. He puts up 91 points in the dub. Ridiculous. I believe Moose Jaw went on a little playoff run too when he was there, right?
Yeah, 10 games after his draft year.
Okay, so like that's second round then.
Yeah,
second. So whatever. They go on a little bit of a run, and people still, like, I mean, to go to the third round, that's a lot of people passing on you. And now he's just shoving it right up.
And honestly, in the 2014 draft, that was the Ekblad, Reinhardt, Draisaitl draft. You can make the argument that the guy taken 79th overall is a first overall pick in that draft. Like, I mean, Draisaitl's a lot bigger and he's played a couple more games than Point, but...
Alan taking Point over Draisaitl for sure.
Well, exactly. And, like, you look at that, like... And not to pick on Jace Haerluck, but... In his draft year, he had 64 points, and he goes 32nd overall. Like, they're all looking at this, oh, this big rough and tumble kid. He's, you know, all these penalty minutes, looking him go. And now, sure enough, you miss out and look. And I mean, it's, you could honestly even blame Tampa too, because 35th overall, they take Dominic Mason in that draft, and then Jonathan McLeod. So they have a couple picks ahead of points, but I mean, they're the ones who hit on him.
I think Haerluck was a high bantam pick when I was with the Wheaties, too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was. Wasn't he, like, was he one? Was he number one? I don't know. He was pretty high, though. But, yeah, like, I mean, you're going to take Point over Reinhardt for sure. I don't really follow enough of Ekblad to make a legitimate statement there, but I don't know. Yeah, Braden Point definitely could have gone top 10 if you're going to look at it now, but we've seen that with other players before. Like, it's not like Datsyuk or Lundqvist, right, going in 7th.
Yeah, like, and to be fair to those guys, they play overseas, so it's not like you're sending scouts to Russia every game to go and look at Datsyuk play back in his draft year. Yeah, it's crazy, though. What's your thoughts on the Midnight Madness stuff going on right now in Savannah?
No, Midnight Madness is... Oh, you already messed that up there. That's Adam for you. Adam Ermentrout's our co-host.
Yeah, thanks.
He doesn't know anything about hockey. No, the Midnight's in Kentucky. The Savannah Classic. I saw the Nerds won. Georgia Tech beat UGA. Penzi's going to have to come back on, do some explaining there. Not sure how you lose. I mean, maybe 5,000 fans will do it to you.
Yeah.
Playing in front of Georgia. That's some pressure. Dude... Like, I don't think many D... Like, I can't think of many D3 schools that would ever play in front of that many people. Like...
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Like, your biggest school is probably... I guess Utica. Probably plays in front of, like, 2,000 a night. Norwich.
Yeah.
1,500, maybe.
It's like a million. All those D3 schools are, like, specialty schools, though. So it's not, like... Like, hockey.
Yeah, that's why it's, like, 40 grand to go. Then the Midnight one's in Kentucky, and so... Yeah, they packed that barn rivalry weekend. They won, like, the Bourbon Barrel. Shout out Coach Clay. We'll get a couple of them on. I don't know. Maybe we get, like, Cash and Duffy. A couple of the beauties come on.
Yeah. We'll see. I guess there were a couple trades since we did our last podcast. Like, the only bad thing about our show dropping on a Monday is it seems like there's 3 trades every
Everything
Monday.
Happens Sunday night.
Yeah. A couple weird trades. The Ducks, like, they lose, what, 12 in a row, and clearly, like, what, like, their best days are behind them. Getzlaf, Perry, Kessler, they're not getting any younger. Acquired Michael Delzato for Luke Shen and a 7th-round pick, so doesn't really mean anything. And then they reacquired Derek Grant for Joseph Blandisi. And every time we talk about Joseph Blandisi, we have to mention his dive, because he got his, like, leg touched and he jumped in the air somehow. Those are just weird trades for the Ducks. And then a bit of a bigger one, Victor Rask for Nino Niederreiter. We'll get to see Nino Niederreiter tonight, I guess. But Victor Rask has struggled this year. I mean, he signed he had a big ticket. I mean, he signed a long-term deal. I think it was $4 million for 6 years or something. And he has one goal in 26 games this year, 6 points.
I don't even want to get into the whole Coghlan Allen thing, because, like, his Iron Man streak was ruined by, like, a scummy suspension by a loser. But, yet again, like, the whole Nino Niederreiter thing, that seems like unnecessary cap for the Hurricanes to take on, unless Rask said, get me out of here ASAP. Like, I hate these post-game celebrations. I want to leave right now. That's the only way it makes sense in my mind.
That's weird, because I guess Rask is a center, and there might be more there, but just going back on Niederreiter, he had 25 goals in 2017 for the Wild. So for such a middling team like the Wild, like, just the most pointless organization in the NHL, where like sixth, seventh, eighth place every year, don't do anything, like, and then they trade one of their goal scorers and they don't even have star players. Like, maybe they hope Victor Rask can turn it around, but it is strange, though.
I'm trying to find my tweet about that. Someone tried to argue with me, too, of, like, oh, Minnesota is not an average team or something. I was like, what? They're the definition of average NHL team. Also, how about when you tried to call out Eichel on Twitter, and he shoved it right up your butt with that Calgary, like, OT winner?
Oh, yeah.
That's a rough look.
He was pretty invisible in that game.
Except for his OT winner. I mean, yeah, it kind of happens.
Yeah. Is that kind of the show for today? I guess we will. We're going to... So, basically, our plans for the end of the show. We're going to the game tonight.
Wait a second. What? We didn't even talk about Penzi's little Kucherov no-fake five-hole goal. You saw that, right?
Yeah, I saw it.
Pretty nasty. Have you ever seen... Have you ever pulled that off? One of your ASHL games?
One of my buddies did in the summer.
That's disgusting. I don't know how, like, being a goalie, I guess I don't really remember, like, getting scored on like that, because no one tries, but it just seems like such a weird move. It's like, how do you bite on that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Pretty sick, though. Like, you gotta have slick mitts to do something like that.
Yeah, so before Cody interrupted me, our plans at the end of the show, we're going to the Oilers game tonight against Carolina. Shout out SeatGeek. And just before I tell you our plans, just download SeatGeek. SeatGeek is an app that takes out the confusion of buying tickets. Tickets are given a grade based on value, a 1 to 10 score, to let you know if you're getting a good or bad deal. View from the seats lets you see where you're going to sit. So we got sweet seats because we knew where we were going to sit. And download our app. Go to the settings tab, hit add a promo code, use our promo code. We're all talk report, all caps, no spaces, for $20 off your first SeatGeek order. So, yeah, shout out to them. One of our listeners was in Dallas yesterday, got to go to the Stars game, so shout out to him for saving $20.
Also, like, you can go to a WHL game for absolutely free if you order tickets there. Not a big deal. Or, like, NBA, like, you're sitting, like, up top or whatever. If you're getting tickets, like, under $20, you're going for free. Can't complain about that. Adam, yeah, with our plans, like, yeah, are we going to do something live after the game, like, maybe a little bit of live on Twitter?
Yeah, we'll do something after the game. Maybe a little review of Rogers Place, just because. And we were there yesterday. Sneak preview, you can't walk. If you want to know what's wrong with the Oilers organization, you can't walk 10 steps without seeing a picture from 1985, because they're just living in the past over there. But
I'm not paying $15 for a Rickards Red either. That's what's wrong. Also, they don't have any day rosé, so...
Also, the Bob Nicholson somehow has a grill in that restaurant, which doesn't make any sense. Like, hey, you're the president or CEO of this team, you get a a grill in the rink, which...
Maybe he's a good cook.
He's something, all right. Yeah, there'll be our review of Rogers' Place. We got hooked up yesterday in the lounge at the Oil Kings game, but yeah, we'll have to see. Any last words for the pod, Cody?
Well, of course. I mean, we were just ripping on Rogers' Place. You might as well tell him how to get better. So start stocking some Any Day Rosé in there, eh? Adam was crushing it yesterday, of course, because that's kind of just what we do. It's a Saturday. We get in it. Sunday night, too. No work. No school, even. Adam, ditching that tomorrow. Unnecessary. Any Day Rosé, though. It's 1 gram of sugar, 6 carbs, 120 calories. That's all. That's in there. It's good stuff. It's legit. All those syrups, all that garbage, sugary drink. It's gluten-free, 6.9% alcohol, and it's pretty much all over Alberta now. And you can buy it online if you're in the States. Use Venmo. It's easy as that. It's in Sherwood Park, Consort. Just going through Instagram right now. They're all over the place. They're in like Leduc, Nisku, Sherwood Park. I already said that. Fort Sask. Like, I mean,
they're everywhere.
Bow Island, Medicine Hat, Tabor. Oh, maybe just Bow Island. I don't know. They're so far. Spruce Grove. So basically, yes, they are everywhere. And of course, use our promo code World Hockey Report if you're going through there. And you want to go check them out. It's anydayrosé.com/worldhockey. You got to go check that out. anydayrosé.com/worldhockey. Adam, anything else for our first live episode? Let's see what people think of that.
Yeah, I think it went well. It's
just a shout out though. Like, Adam skipped mock wedding for this.
Yeah, thank goodness.
For those of you who don't know like what mock wedding is, we're gonna have Adam explain it for you right now.
Basically, it's a fake wedding for college kids to go to, and it's terrible. And you're supposed to wear a nice outfit, but just to get drinks spilt on you.
It's a mess. Adam's been there every year, decided to take it off for the boys.
I went twice, and last year I left at 10:30, so I stayed for an hour.
We drop in, you know, before we even do this, because we are recording before the game. What are we playing tonight? For, you know, you thinking money line, puck line, Oilers, Canes? Because this is going to be fact check. This is gonna show your true strengths here. No parlay.
I'll say Oilers -1.5 because they played so bad yesterday.
I like that one. I like that too. I was definitely thinking puck line. You got some very good odds there, but I was also thinking Oilers in regulation and over 5.5. I'm thinking. I haven't checked starting goalies yet, but I'm thinking I like that play. That's going to do it. Go check out the sponsors. New Energy's awesome. You got to get that in, yeah. Probably one of the best energy products in the world. Any Day Rosé is sick as well. And SeatGeek, if you need tickets. Peace.
All right. Special edition of the show here. We are on our way home from the Oiler game. And, yeah, the Hurricanes, I think, were up 3-0. 12 minutes in, the Oilers didn't get a shot till 9:30 in. Went down 6-1 in the second. Got a goal thanks to the linesman. So 6-2, then 6-3, 6-4, empty net 7-4. Oilers lose. Cody, your thoughts on the game?
I mean, for one, can we just stop pumping Draisaitl's tires? Like, that one, the linesman just gives him a 2-on-1. It's an easy tap-in for him. And the other, McDavid, just makes a McDavid play. Like, anyone in the league can score that. And he almost fumbled it and missed it. So, however, he was the second star of the night. Mind-boggling. But, I mean, they were hot garbage. It's like Ken Hitchcock yesterday after, like, Oberlin or whatever the heck after CBC there. And he's just like, oh, yeah, we'll be ready to go tomorrow. Like, you know, we're going to bounce back. We always do. That was pathetic. I mean, they didn't even show up.
Yeah, like, Carolina scores 28 seconds into the game. You lose a big game to one of your biggest rivals who's like 20 points ahead of you in the standings, come out, give up the first goal 28 seconds in, then another one a couple minutes later. We may or may not have been watching the Patriots game at that point, but yeah, I mean, what a terrible game to go to. Like, we were listening to the radio on the way home, the phones are blown up on the radio, the team's blown up, everybody thinks that, you know, this team stinks, and they're not great. I mean,
they're right there in the playoff picture just because the hockey gods are the hockey gods. But here are my thoughts on Rogers Place. You can't walk 10 feet in that damn building without seeing something that reminds you of 40 years ago with all the cups they won. Like, it's a picture of Messi. It's a picture of Gretzky. There's Stanley Cup banners in the hallway of the rink. And then another plaque saying the Stanley Cup. Like, they're living in the past. Like, this organization, like Daryl Gates, Bob Nicholson, the all boys club, Kevin Lowe, right at the top of the list. They're absolutely living in the past.
I you can't even argue with that. Like, you know, it's a group up top, and if they don't want to make changes, I mean, that's their call, right? Like, they're in that position for a reason. But holy, I mean, watching it today, if you questioned any bit of that Larson Hall trade or even thought that it was a half decent trade, like, Taylor Hall's an MVP winner. Adam Larson out there, he's probably a minus four. Didn't look like he belonged anywhere on the ice tonight. All around, like, their defense just looked bad. Like Caleb Jones is your best D-man out there. And I get it. He tossed up a muffin yesterday against Calgary. But tonight he was by far their best defenseman. Darnell Nurse looks lost out there. He's at a public skate. I mean, Benning's all over the place, left, right, and center, unpredictable. Chris Russell's more or less a ghost, kind of blocks a couple of shots and you see him. But yet again, that's a bad, bad performance and, you know, bad team overall.
Yeah, and I guess after the game, I kind of singled out Larson, Nurse, and Benning on Twitter. And just to add to that, Larson did say he was playing his worst hockey of the year, but on the sixth goal, he let, like, Lucas Walmark walk by him and, like, You said it looked like he's trying to push over a chair out there, and it's true. Benning was a train wreck all night. I mean, gets the puck on a stick and he dusts it off 30 times and shoots it off a guy's skate. Like, terrible. And then Nurse, like, how many times does he pick up speed coming through his own end and just lose it in, like, a Carolina guy's skates, and they go back the other way 2-on-2 with the forward back? I mean, yeah, the D were terrible. And then, like, what are the forwards doing out there? You put McDavid's line out there, and, I mean, he wasn't great tonight. He had a couple bad TOs. And you put his line out there, and, like, who's the right winger on there? Yamamoto, Puljujarvi, like, yikes, no thanks. And then put Drysdale's line out there. It's him, Lucic, and, like, Puljujarvi, like, yeah. And then who's out after it? Kara, Kashian, and Brodziak, or Colby Cave? Like, it's mind-blowing at this point.
Honestly, I mean, if you want to look at, like, a positive, like, Colby Cave was probably a top six forward for the Oilers tonight. McDavid was out of it. I mean, in warm-up, how many times did he lose the puck? I mean, we saw it before. Like, he just looked disinterested. Too many turnovers, a lot of puck fumbles, just not normal for him. So I wonder how much of it's in their head, though, right? Like, I mean, you've been in a dressing room where just the atmosphere is shit. Your team's losing. You can't catch a break. Nothing's going right. You got Hitchcock on after hours for no apparent reason. Like, you know, it kind of just starts to nag on you. And holy, going into that, like, 10-12 day break, if they can't beat Detroit, that's going to be a miserable team. Like you really got to get guilty and probably play guilty coming out of it. Because that 10 days, you got to forget everything.
Yeah, so they played Detroit on Tuesday, which is in 2 days, and everyone's like, oh, like, Detroit's one of the worst teams in the league. You should be able to beat them. But
so is Carolina.
Yeah, so is Carolina. So are the Oilers, for Christ's sakes. Like it's not like you have Tampa Bay coming in here. It's like, not like the Oilers are Tampa Bay against Detroit and can take them lightly. Like, I mean, that's your last game for 10 days. You should probably play well, but they don't. I mean, and the rink after Carolina gets their fourth goal is a funeral home, basically, or library, whatever you want to call it. You're having a conversation the whole game, and the atmosphere there is fine. I mean, it's tough to judge in a whatever it is 6-1 game halfway through the second period or end of the second period, and yeah, then whatever, you go and get a burger, fries, and a pop for $6, so it's like $22 you're running for half a meal. And yeah, I mean, kind of a joke. Our seats were bad. How about those girls who showed up 15 minutes into the first period, like, hey, yeah, just going to an Oiler game tonight, might show up with 3 minutes left in the first. Like, what a waste. Yeah, and I put the poll out on Twitter if anybody wanted the Fire Shirelli chance, and I thought about it. Said 10 minutes left in the third period, we're going to start it. Then they got those two quick goals, cashing, and then Drysdale on the power play. So kind of ruined that. But after Carolina got the empty netter, you could actually hear some echoes of the chant picking up. But at that point, everybody's already at the Grand Villa Casino attached to the rink. So, yeah, that's our thoughts on the Oilers game, and that is our drive home.
Oh, I mean, talk about that Grand Villa Casino's rigged at the end there. Losing money after the game, never fun. How about we had, like, 8 fans around us watching that Pats and Chiefs game? Like, zero interest. They're like, oh, Oilers are down 3-0 already, 10 minutes in. How's the NFL game going? It's Canada. No one cares about the NFL. And people are watching that over the Oilers. So that was brutal. All in all, though, like, your thoughts on Rogers' place in the area? Like, I mean, other than Kanye, you hadn't been there. So, like, downtown, like, you're walking past people playing, like, drums made out of 5-gallon pails. You walk outside, you get bombarded like you're in Mexico. I mean, how did Daryl Gates and the city of Edmonton do there?
Well, the rink's kind of plain. Like, it's basically a Diet Coke. It looks like a Diet Coke can. And I'm not going to lie, it's pretty cool while you're inside. But yeah, it's a lot. There's like 38 different clubs in that rink. Like, you walk, there's a Sportsnet club on the first, second, third, club seats, all that. Like, a Club 90 Lion Lounge, Gerald Cates just running up the bill to charge somebody freaking $400 to literally sit in the rafters on a semi-comfier chair, which I thought that was pretty ridiculous. The rink's fine. It's so weird, though, that Ford Hall. So if any of you have ever seen the Rogers Place, it's like basically just a bowl, but there's that tail and the end of it. That's where every single fan enters the rink, I'm pretty sure. Like, one entrance for 18,000 people. And at the end of the game, it's a joke. And yeah, the casino's rigged after. It's probably going into Daryl Cates' pocket. So just so he can run up more people, run up the bills for more people. And yeah, I mean, just listening to the game, the post game after, a lot of fans, season ticket holders, Daryl might be losing some money.
When do you think fans will, like, stop showing up? Because it's got to be soon-ish. Like, people just get so sick of it. They're like, oh my goodness, I don't want to see the Oilers get smacked by Carolina, go down 6-1, while I'm paying $300 for a ticket.
Well, I mean, you're basically paying to see McDavid play at this point and whoever the opposition is. But, yeah, I mean, the Oilers, like, how about that guy at the game? He's waving this flag before the game, whatever. They go, yeah, he bought season tickets in 2009. Who the hell would buy season tickets in 2009 to the Oilers? Like, four years removed from the Cup Final. I guess three years removed from the Cup Final. And then he didn't get to see the playoffs for 7 years after that or whatever it is. Like, yeah, I'm just, like, the worst team in the league. Yeah, sure, I'll get season tickets and sign up. Like, I mean, there's just some crazy fans, and it's 6-1 at the game. There's, like, let's go Oiler chants, or like, Zach Cashian gets a cheer just because he hits a guy into the bench and punches him in the back of the head, like, 6 times.
No, everyone cheered when they hit the post. Like, when Svechnikov hit the post on Koskinen, everyone's cheering. Before the game, though, I don't know if you got a snap or, like, a picture of that. Like, they, like, unraveled that loyalty flag during O Canada. We both looked at each other like, what the f-? Okay, what was that? I mean, again, it's like marketing, whatever. They're going to make some more money off of it. But is that the stupidest thing you've ever seen unraveled during the national anthem?
Yeah, so some teams would have either a Canada flag or like their team flag, or I guess the Leafs do like the Canada team flag mashup. But no, the Oilers have a black piece of fabric that says loyalty on the bottom, and it has a messy oil drop on it. Like, I don't know what that is. They're throwing out those shirts. They're drink cups. You put the straw in your drink, and it's literally an oil drop that you have to put the straw through. And yeah, I don't know, some of the stuff that they're doing in that rink. I mean, and how about their pregame warm-up video? I don't even know if there's one goal scored in this pregame warm-up video. It's literally just Lucic and Jujhar Khaira just hitting people, and McDavid's in it maybe once or twice.
There's some questionable stuff that I mean, like, game experience, how do you compare it to the Saddle Dome? Because, like, I mean, when I was at that, the last, I guess, kind of Flames-Rangers game I was at, dude, the Saddle Dome, like, just the Flames fans were, like, they're just into it. Like, you know, they're just more enjoyable. Whereas Oilers fans are kind of just peasants. I mean, like, we're sitting around, like, 30 different coaches. So, yeah, that's kind of stupid.
Yeah, like, I mean, nothing really compares to the Dome. Like, Flames fans, they're less grumpy because their team's been less of an ass pit for the last 15 years. And Oilers fans, you can tell, I mean, everybody sitting around us, they have a problem with almost every play. But, I mean, the team stinks, so they have the right to have that problem. But, yeah, I mean, the Flames atmosphere is a lot better. The Oilers rink is probably nicer, I'll give them that. Yeah, I don't know, though, like, Flames atmosphere is cooler. They only have one color of jersey, red. They don't have blue and orange, so their rink doesn't look like a Tide Pod. Yeah, that's my thoughts.
Can we burn those orange jerseys? Those are so ugly. Like, the Oilers never do good on them, I swear. But, like, yet again, like, man, it's disgusting. It's not even, like, a cool, like, Philly Broad Street Bullies orange. It's just like a, yeah, you say like a Tide Pod orange, like something a millennial would eat.
Yeah, and who puts orange, like a light orange with a dark navy? It doesn't go. My last comment is probably that the Oilers might have won if they were wearing blue jerseys tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to wrap it up. I mean, yet again, thanks SeatGeek for the tickets. You guys are beauties.
There you have it.